15 to 20 million.
I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, our broadcast signal serves southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware, and people can pick up our broadcast all over the USA simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And in my travels and visiting with tourist groups, I see that many people enjoy our message, tune in from various states. I know exactly what Mark says when he says the buses come in from all over. They do to historic Philadelphia. And it's always been a pleasure to talk to people that are willing to talk common sense. As you know, our theme this year has been working together for the best interests of America and American workers. And I've depended upon our great panel, Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, a national small business advocate, Rich Loges, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, our Curtis Ellis, who is out on the road again today with the America First Project. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. Always very, very pleased to be here with you. Well, as we celebrate November as American Made Month, we certainly have a lot of things to discuss. I feel that offering quality products made in America at a reasonable price will certainly bring about more competition in America, and American-made products will double as time goes on as consumers focus on supporting American-made. One of the clever things that the merchandisers did is they cut out the American-made stock altogether from their buy lists. So if you don't have a product to buy, you have to settle for what is available at the time you need that product. That's really, really something that has bugged me for a long time, and I'm very vocal about making sure that people know that we're not happy about it. I myself know that when I'm seeking American made, I'm looking for the little flags and labels that are made in the USA, and I make sure that people around me that are shopping also know that I'm there very pleased to find an American made product. That's the big deal. And I want to mention before I say a few more things here is that Mike Sessions has put up a great link. It's right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com on the left side, and you can get a dog tag combo and a free T-shirt. Click on that and try to, take care of Mike, because Mike has certainly done a great job trying to promote the Buy American Made campaign. There's also a free download Buy American Made app right there. And there's also an app that you can download for American Workers Radio, and it takes you right to the show. So do that. And also, by the way, it takes you to rebroadcasts of the show. And I want to thank Mike Sessions for an unbelievable job. And when you go to the front page of American Workers Radio, you'll also see the November American Made Month banner. Just click on that. It also has information of ways to celebrate, and it has a great poster up there made by our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, urging people to support American Made workers. Well, we just passed an election. And you know my policy working in human services for some years is don't ask for something, work to earn it. Don't look for someone else to pay for something, earn it, and you can spend it the way you feel best. This is the way America did things for two centuries, and too many things have changed in the last 40 years that made a lot of Americans feel it's okay to ask for something without having to work for it. American Made Month is certainly a time where we encourage people not only to work and earn, but also to support the businesses that are able to offer jobs to people that want to work, earn, and save. I mean, this has been the American way from the founding of the United States of America. For people to go out and earn a living, that's how it was. There were no public welfare type programs listed in the United States Constitution passed on September 17th, 1787. There was none of that. Those programs started after the Depression, and some of them were very valuable, but some of them have been heavily abused. And I see that working in the field, working with people. Most of the people, thank God, that I work with want to be self-sufficient. And all of our national leaders, as I say so often, both Democrats, Republicans, and independents, are the blame for what happened here in the United States of America. And before I go to our great panel, I want to remind them to start remaining focused on the goal of life, liberty, work ethics, and saving for the future. Not putting our people in debt, not putting our students in debt, but give them something where they feel that they are really part of the American dream. And that comes from leading by example. Their focus should always be kept on America the Great. And our main priority in helping to restore America has to have them as main leaders, but they seem not to want to be doing that for some reason, and I never understood it. Maybe they're too pampered, these people. Maybe they're getting used to the regular weekly paycheck and all the perks to go along with it, that they forgot their mission. American workers need them to be focused on what we're supposed to be doing here in America. They should be handing America back to the people. They should be saying, my goodness, how could we have let even one job leave this country? But they didn't. So we're reminding them. So I want to say thank you again to Larkin Conley, Rich Loges, Mark Andel, Curtis Ellisar, engineer Henry Chaplinsky. And today I'm going to start off with Rich Loges. Rich, how's everything with you? Let's hear it today, loud and clear.
Good morning, Michael, and Larkin, and Mark, and Henry, and everybody out there, Curtis, wherever you may be. Thank you for all the work you do, and thank you, of course, Michael, to our listeners. So last night is an excellent example, yet again, another exhibit of evidence as to why there is no such thing anymore as red states. Now, CNN today, and MSNBC, and the Washington Post, and the New York Times today will talk about the gubernatorial win for the Democrats in heavily red Kentucky. I don't even live in Kentucky, Michael, and I'm not happy about the outcome. But if you actually look at the map of Kentucky today, Larkin, here's what you'll see. Massive amounts of red and a couple of blue. So how did the incumbent lose, Michael? The reason he lost is because there are only two types of states, blue states and purple states. Where me and Larkin are is a purple state. The reason we've remained red in our legislature and in our governor's office is because our GOP turnout has traditionally been pretty high down here. Well, in Kentucky last night, Michael, the initial the data I'm seeing as of now is that there was under 50% registered Republican voter turnout. Now, the Republicans today in Kentucky are upset about the Libertarian because the Libertarian ran a third-party campaign and acquired many, many more votes than the Republican lost by. But that right there, Michael, that if you're mad about that, then all that tells me is you're still believing and living in the fantasy world of red states. So why do I bring this up? Because, first and foremost, our great audio engineer is a earn his vote for next year. We're not going to take for granted the way it's happened before. We need him on board. We're going to do what we need to do to get him on our side.
I like the idea of feeling wanted. Keep.
I have to bring it up as my public service announcement. But in addition, though, Michael, as we head into next year, both sides are motivated, but the question is really who's more motivated. And it's not about policy. People don't see. Again, this is a mistake we make on our side. We think elections are about policy and ideology. They're not. Policy and ideology is what happens when someone is elected and gets into office. They're not about that. It's about who's selling the messaging, the brand of politics the best for the people most likely to support his or her campaign. So for everyone out there who's on our side, who either supported the president or didn't and is now on board, you have to understand something. Nothing is guaranteed. Landslide, that's all fantasy, Michael. I could tell everybody listening what they want to hear. See, Larkin, I could tell everyone, Florida is a red state. We're going to turn Miami-Dade Republican. That's what you want to hear. I don't tell people what they want to hear, Michael. Your husband and wife tells you that. I ain't your husband or your wife. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. And what everybody needs to hear is this. If you thought 16 was a difficult election, buckle up. It's going to be even harder next year, Mark.
Well,
Michael. Thank you.
Well, Rich, I agree with what you just said. And there are a lot of people who are motivated to come out. And that is why I say so often there should be more of a mandate to have every person vote so we know exactly where every person in the country stands. I don't like the idea that they'll only come out for this election or that election. Every election should be a priority, every election. Their focus should be, the people's focus should be, keep America great. That's our main priority. And helping restore America, not even the politicians. And politicians should have been saying for the last 35 years, we are not allowing even one business to leave our shores unless we have another business to replace it here in the United States. How did anyone expect people to pay taxes, send their children to school, keep their houses in good order, pay their rent? If they're in an apartment or a condo, how did they expect people to do that without the proper employment opportunities? It's simply insane. If you have something in your house and you take a chair out and you have a television in the room, but you have no place to sit, you look to replace the chair so you can sit and watch the television. When these people watched all these businesses, it's between 66 and 77,000 businesses left this country. 66,000 where the actual manufacturing was done in the United States. The others were people who were already subcontracting out to other companies in the United States. They just decided to move all of their contracting overseas. So it's around 77,000 businesses left. Some that were manufacturers, others that were jobbers, as they call them. So, I mean, but no one during that time, the last 30, 35 years, said, oh, no, we don't want a job out of this country unless we have another business to replace it. How are we going to expect our people to live and prosper? This is the stupidity of it. I listen to a lot of these politicians. I can't listen to much of it because I want to know where the money is coming from for all these pipe dreams. I could tell you 1,000 things, but where is the bottom line coming from? And that's the thing I'm putting the claw down these days on things that have, if they are not paid for, they're not going to be continued. That's it. We need to restore at least a 50-50 balance, and that is the most important thing that we can do. Can you imagine, good people, that you can go into a store and find 95% of the stuff on the shelf foreign made? How the hell did that happen? I would like to know. Who allowed it to happen? If it was me, if it was Larkin, if it was Mark, if it was Rich, this would not have happened. We would have discussed this like human beings and said, well, wait a minute. How are we going to allow our brothers and sisters and our neighbors to have an employment opportunity? They didn't think that because they live in a bubble. Balunek, as we say in Polish, in a balloon. They're living in a balloon. Let it go, let it go, let it go. As long as we're okay, they think because they are okay, everybody else is okay. And that's not a fact. And no matter what party is in there, I hate to say, Democrats and Republicans, for the last 30 years, I have not seen, and I cannot not identify right now, one single person who has led the cause. I could say Mark Andel has been doing it for many years. I could say Larkin has been doing it for many years. I can say Rich has been promoting it for many years. I have been promoting it for many years. But who can we identify on a national level that's been promoting America first? Can you tell me, Larkin?
Well, I don't think it's being promoted by anybody. I don't think there's anybody out there that sees this problem. I have been studying or trying to study the Philadelphia election results, and I got a bad piece of news for the five Republicans. Left in Philadelphia, although I've myself have moved to Florida. The law, the city charter reads that that an opposition party has to have two seats. So that's how the city council always has two Republicans on the council, because while they may have gotten 30,000 less votes than somebody else, if they're the top two vote-getting Republicans, they're an opposition party.
Larkin,
my question becomes, go ahead, Mark, Mike.
Larkin, did you hear the results of what happened in Philadelphia? Three parties.
Parties, yes.
And there could have been four parties, but one candidate did better than the other one by a few thousand votes. Otherwise, we would have had four parties in the city council of Philadelphia, one of which, or maybe two of which, would have been Republicans. The others, two would be independent parties, the American Workers Party, and the other one, I can't remember right offhand what it was.
Well, there isn't an American Workers Party. The new party that has absolutely taken the number one at-large seat in the city is Working Families.
Working
Party.
Families, that's what it was, yes.
Kendra Brooks.
I have seen Kendra. I know her message to the people, yes.
So Al Tottenberger and Matt Wolf, Dan Tinney, Bill Henney, they're all out. The only Republican left standing now is David O. A really neat guy and a great statesman.
And a Brian O'Neill in the 10th District, Northeast Philadelphia. Those are the two candidates. But see, those candidates also spoke about jobs for Philadelphians, getting our infrastructure back to where it should be. So people respected them for that, and they got in. The nice guy, you know, I'm just going to be coming around shaking hands and all, that's no longer the way it is. President Trump, if he did anything, he changed the landscape of elections. Nobody is comparing the presidential election to what took place in the local areas. Some of the ads that I heard in the last month, not one of them from these politicians Republicans and Democrats focused on a working person in their particular area they're looking to be elected. It was all, this one is no good, that one is no good, don't do this, they did that. It was absolutely a waste of time. Not one of them said, I want to revitalize the great employment opportunities that this county has had for 150 years. Not one of them said that. And by the way, if I heard one of them say it, I'd say vote for him because he's talking common sense. I don't want to know that the other guy did this. He served over here. He got an extra bonus from some. I don't want to know that. I'm not interested. And by the way, all those types of ads. Can you imagine a stranger, a foreigner visiting, young people going to school, their parents taking them to school, listening to these type of crappy ads on the radio, stupid ads. One downgrading the next person. It doesn't make sense. And they usually come on with these voices. Vote for somebody. Oh, only, and don't go in and vote for anybody else but this. You know, it's ridiculous. Already that should be changed. People are wising up. I'm telling you, after Trump was elected, the national election for president will no longer be the same. And people are going to vote. Whether they vote Democrat or Republican, they're going to vote for the person who gives them the best message, whether it's Trump or Michael, the next person.
Michael. Let me put it to you this way. Let me put this in plain, understandable English. This election effectively represented the end of the Republican Party in Philadelphia.
Yes, I agree.
Done.
But Larkin, let me say this.
You won't even run them in. They won't even run in primaries. But the Republicans are done.
But see, listen, Larkin, you heard the name of the party, Working Families Party. What did that candidate talk about? Helping working families. So that people thought this working families. People need jobs. They need security. You know, let's get things have changed in America. Let's get on the bandwagon. This is what this girl who was elected, and that's what her message was. Working families have to be looked at in a special way. How are they going to stay working?
Who came to town and supported her? Who came to town and campaigned with her in a winning election? Bernie Sanders. That's what she stands for. There's about as much democracy involved in this woman as you could find in any other place. She's for an inflated minimum wage. She doesn't care about business. She doesn't care about business.
But she cares only that people work. She cares about minimum wage, raising the minimum wage. That's what people want to hear. We have to look at the minimum wage. Is it a working wage? Those are the kinds of things I heard from this candidate. So that was the message that the other candidates should have focused on. What are we going to do to help people? Bernie is giving you a wish list of ideas. God bless you if you agree with it. The next person.
Can I interject on something real quick before Mark comes in?
Yes.
Larkin, I'm listening to you and. And I'm not an expert, Michael, in Philadelphia politics. So I'm going to preface with that. I love coming to the city. I just want everyone to know, if you have cheesesteaks without onions, we can't be friends anymore. So I'll leave it at that.
How do I even talk to you, man?
I just want to let everyone know that. I love coming to the city, Michael. And stay tuned, because I may be back up there in the spring or summer. I'm coming into Larkin. And it isn't that I'm disagreeing with Larkin on what I'm about to say. I guess I'm not. I question whether the Republican Party ever really had any footing. I know Larkin was once chair of the Philadelphia Republican Party. And I have no doubt that Larkin exerted exorbitant amounts of effort and sacrificed time away from his personal life, his family, and his livelihood to increase awareness of the brand. But it's always, Michael, about the bodies. It's always about the people in the district, in the city. The city of Philadelphia has been run by only Democrat mayors and supermajority Democrat city councils for the last 24,000 consecutive days.
That's more than that.
and if you go further back on the mayor race, it goes even further. When you look at mayor with city council combined, the consolidation, the true the monopolization of power has existed in the Dem Party in Philadelphia for 1,000 consecutive days. Now, just do the math, Michael.
You know,
divide
Rich,
that
you're
by
right.
365. That's almost 7 decades. That's longer than Stalin ran the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. It's comparable to how long the Kims have run North Korea as a dictatorship. It's longer than the Castros in Cuba. That's how long it's been there.
Well, Rich, you're right. However, there's a special notice I would like to put out, and that is to all people in across the USA, is I want to hear not what the candidates have ideas of giving away, taking from Peter to pay Paul, a Robin Hood idea, but what do they have so that people can work, earn, and save?
But Michael,
on
Michael,
their own.
You're talking about it from your perspective.
I know, but see, the problem is...
What do the majority of Philadelphians vote? What do they want to hear?
They want to... Well, most of the Philadelphia people...
I know what they want to hear. Right. I know what they want to hear because all the Democrats in Philadelphia want identical to what the Democrats in Palm Beach County, where I live, want. Talk to one, you talk to them all.
But
what do they want?
But
they make the wacky tobacco illegal. You want to have $8,000 an hour personal background checks for gun control. It's all the same messaging, Michael. You tell me what you want.
I know.
I'm running in your district.
Rich, it's the same old idea. Many people have gotten so spoiled that they don't want to do anything. It's like they say that I hear so often. Some people want to start work at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, end at 1 o'clock, and get an hour for lunch. Those days are over. They don't have a work ethic. Now, in the city of Philadelphia, employment has gone up. We're at a low unemployment rate in our good city. And that's because people are once again looking to the city to make things, to help commerce. There's a different, little bit of a different feeling. Like, let's try to support ourselves. And there is no reason for you to run to the welfare office unless you have a resume that you could show them. If you're working age and able-bodied, why in the world are you applying for benefits if there are open jobs right in your neighborhood? I mean,
okay,
we have to start
Michael,
asking these questions. And by the way, I'd like to hear these candidates not talk about bibble babble, how they're going to do this and that. I want to hear what they're going to do for the working people. As I said last week, they said that they're concerned, or Mr. Biden said he would like to see the rebuilding of the middle class. And my question was last week, how did he and all the others sit back and watch the middle class be destroyed? The middle class is the working people. How did they allow it?
It happened the entire time he was in Washington, D.C., serving this country.
Absolutely.
He was present for every minute of it.
I'm going to be very honest. When someone contacted me about two of these candidates running for president, I asked them point blank in the telephone conversation, and I will name them when it's time to name them, because I don't know if one's going to be remaining in the field. But what are they doing for the working people of America? What are they going to do to ensure that people have jobs? What are they doing to help? Why, by the way, has Nancy Pelosi and her crew not put on the ballot to approve the Mexican-Canadian-United States agreement. What is the delay? That's been on their table for a month plus. What's the delay? I want the candidates who are going to have their next debate to get up there and say, Nancy, get up there and get this on the thing so we can get our, keep our people working. Get even more enthusiasm in the system.
Michael, take a breath. Listen to me very carefully. You got to look at the numbers. You're telling me unemployment in Philadelphia is down? That's because you don't have any businesses left. They've all gone. You don't have to work in Philadelphia. You can live there.
Well, I agree. And Larkin, you might be 100% correct. You know why? You just look at the traffic coming into Philadelphia or leaving Philadelphia in the morning to go to the counties or to New Jersey. It's packed. And then after work, everybody's coming back to Philadelphia. You're right.
And that tickles your mayor, Pink. Tickles him, Pink.
Well, because they get not only the mayor, but the city gets the wage tax, whether you work in the city or work outside. That's the way it goes. So
yeah,
I see it. The traffic is unbelievable coming in, going. I see which way the traffic is going. And I agree. A lot of people are working outside the city. But
if you send Mark Andel to solve the problem Philadelphia has right now, the first order of business for him is to open businesses, is to provide jobs, and to get a vibrant economy moving.
That's right.
It's not sitting there going, well, let me raise your wages. What good does it do if you raise my wages if I don't have a job?
That's right. And all you need to do is go into some of the malls in the areas, not only in Philadelphia, but all over the country. You see closed stores, open, you know, going out of business. And that's because they have to downsize, because they went in with the idea that they're going to offer somebody a chair or something for $10 less. It doesn't work like that. You can't pay your bills giving for less. You have to give a quality product, a quality service, and at least make a dollar to pay your expenses and your employees. Mark?
Mark up. I mean, he needs to help me here.
Mark, you've been listening today.
I've been listening. Larkin sounds healthy.
Well, that's because you've been doing a lot of, you know, they say that all this new stuff, they're doing all that tango dancing and stuff when they're during rehab. Hey, Larkin, you're going to get a lot of new steps as you're doing the rehab.
Hey, I can't get my wife to tango.
Well, it takes two to tango, unless you want. Mark, I mean, let's be real. If you go into Buffalo, you go into Syracuse, there are a lot of empty stores. There are a lot of empty factories. How did that happen? How was that allowed to? And by the way, if you went to the people in the individual neighborhoods and asked them what happened to those particular products, they'll tell you, well, they're still on the market. They're just not made in America anymore.
Yeah.
Now, how the hell is that? How did a business representative for the United States allow more things to go out of the United States, actual businesses employing Americans, and not enough to keep Americans employed here in the USA? There was no sensibility to that.
We've been asking that question for 9 years and not once given an answer. But
no,
go ahead, Mark.
And you're right. And not once did I have any national leader. And by the way, I speak to politicians. I say, why don't you come on? Oh, I don't want to get the party angry. I don't want to get the caucus angry. It's always a story because, Larkin, just like you and I, we don't have an answer. They've never had an answer as to why they allow the businesses to leave. Somebody who served in a particular office 38, 40 years, I mean, they're far beyond the you know, having an idea what's been taking place. They just are going to work, coming back, sitting at their seat in the caucus or whatever. They really don't have any concerns. I can see it when I speak to these people. They just don't care. I'm there to put in my time. I like what I do. One politician even told me, I like what I do. I'm already collecting Social Security. I'm able to do this and that. We do 3 cruises a year. I mean, this is like Rich once said, like winning the lottery.
Yeah.
It's like winning the lottery. Yes, Mark.
Yeah. Well, yeah, guys, how you doing? Just listening in. I did exercise my right to vote yesterday. You guys just pound that in. It's a right to have. A lot of my friends from the area text me, of course, get out. Everybody knows everybody's busy, but you got to vote is first off. But, Buffalo, you guys talking about the areas, how jobs leave Buffalo. It's a blue-collar town, right? Manufacturing, Bethlehem Steel was a city in itself. A lot of them left, and, Mike, it was greed, for that a dollar for the increased portfolio. Things of that nature, but right now is our time to shine. I want to be talking about the Made in America, Made in America store. It's November, December, and listeners, your listeners, Mike, and all of us, now is the time to put the dollar on a Made in America product when you do your shopping. You can make the truest difference, I think, right now, from now till Christmas, going out, voting with your dollar, making your purchase, making wise choices, looking at that label, like we talk about, Mike. And it's just people, it kind of snuck up on us again, but we're already in the, first week of November, and here we go. This is a big time of year to make a statement and make them buyers know that Made in America matters. And
right.
We got to keep on that path. And it that creates jobs, of course, and that's what we're talking about.
Mark, if I asked you, do you know what is in any of the trade agreements that were made 25 years ago? Do you know?
You know, not a ton for us. The Unfair Trade Act, and everybody I talked to, we went foreign, and, everybody went overseas for that lower labor.
Right.
And they didn't keep their eye on the ball. They didn't really know what was happening, but they should have adjusted while it was happening. And, now you get 40 years later, Mike, and we've got this situation.
Right. And people who approve those agreements are still sitting in Washington, a good number of them. They don't want to take any blame for hurting the American people and American workers. I ask questions point blank many times, and they look at me like, I'm not answering that question. Make sure I never see that guy again near me, because he asked me a question I have no answer for. American Made Month is a good time to listen what Mark has to say. We have to start questioning everybody. What's in those agreements that hurt America for years? And by the way, unfortunately, most Americans do not understand what is in any of the agreements that the Congress and the Senate signed and put into law. They don't understand it.
I want to bring up a good story when, everybody's seen the movie on the show here, but there was a pipe post involved, and I lost that in 2007. Well, the tariffs pushed that customer to come back to me and ask me to requote it now. So it's kind of neat how the tariffs can help you. For one, Made in America products have no tariffs, but kind of neat. And everybody I'm talking to in business lately around Western York here, they're busy. The problem is there's more work than there are workers. And we've been talking about this for years, but there's more work than there are workers. So there's something going right in the economy, and we got to talk about that. But, getting these skilled trades and keeping on that path. But it's a shame. Everybody I talk to, they can't grow. They're busy, but they can't grow any further because there are no workers to fill their positions to grow.
That's right. I agree with that. Oh, 1,000%. In fact,
it should be on the national news every night.
It should be on the news, and it should be on the news exactly what type of people are needed in these various industries.
And the really sad part, and the part that has me so fired up about the Philadelphia results, is there are no politicians in Philadelphia that give a hootenanny about how good the economy is. They don't care. It's not important. They don't talk about it. It's like Taxachusetts, man. We're going to just tax you, and we're going to redistribute the money to people who need it. But there's absolutely no concern on any single political individual in the city of Philadelphia that concerns themselves with the state of the economy. They don't care.
Larkin, I have to tell you this. You're going to love this story. I spoke to a politician. I was out and about, and a politician came up to me. And I said, how's everything going? And he says, well, I'm doing my best. I didn't raise a lot of money. I didn't have a lot of fundraising out. I'm not participating at many things. I'm just hoping that all those that are in the field battling with each other will cancel themselves out, and I'll be able to get enough people to vote for me. And this person and people riding down the streets in Philadelphia area will know exactly who I'm talking about. With that one, he put up 1,000+ signs just in the Northeast, hoping to generate people to vote for him just by seeing his name. And he lost yesterday. But he never went around. And I said to him, well, you should bring attention to the American Made issue. He said, very controversial. Very controversial. I said, why?
Of course it is.
Why is it very controversial? He said, because, well, where I am now, we have a lot of foreigners, a lot of foreign businesses on the main avenue. I wouldn't want them to think that I'm going against them. Possibly, you know, they'll help to cut up the vote and I'll be able to, you know, slip in there. Well, that's not that to me. I didn't say it to him, unfortunately, but that to me represents a person with no backbone, just existing, hoping that by just sheer magic, he would get into the job. It doesn't make sense. I talked to him at length about, I'd like to see more discussed about jobs and livelihoods. And, you know, from all the political people, I told him you would get a lot of publicity if you started that. And they said, well, Michael, Philadelphia is not the place that we can bring up those type of issues at this point. And I thought to myself, well, that's why you're going to lose. And he did. The time, the clock on the wall only goes in one direction. Larkin, you look at yourself. I look at myself. Rich, you look at yourself. Mark, you, every listener, go to the mirror and take a look at yourself. Are you the way you were 10, 15, 20 years ago? The answer is no. So the clock on the wall continues to go forward, and we have to go forward leading our campaigns to get the people to understand how important it is. The politicians are not doing the job we are doing. We're encouraging the everyday American to look for the American Made label, to go to the store that helps keep people employed, to go buy your pizzas and hoagies and all the other stuff, because they're all American workers. That's all American products that they're doing. They're using American beef and chickens and everything else. Those are all people that deserve your support. Go out and support your local community businesses so they're there to serve you for a long, long time. The clock does not go in reverse. We can't stop the clock. We can't buy time. It doesn't work. So please help us out. Don't waste time and encourage other people to support our message, because the jobs they save by going out and purchasing American Made and supporting American businesses could be the jobs that will employ their friends, family, neighbors, children, or grandchildren. Yes, sorry about that. You know how it is. I love going out and speaking to people, and because I learn so much from people. People are good, and people tell me I'm not going out to vote because I really feel my vote doesn't count. I said, bad. Don't do that. I said, in America, voting is the most important thing that you can do, because it gives an opportunity for everybody to have their feelings known. You don't go, then the people who go out to vote have their feelings known, and that's it. That's the bottom line.
You know, in my old age, I find myself sitting around trying to make sure that I've got every obligation covered, and that I have enough money to sustain myself for the rest of my life and my wife. And I would be in a wonderful position if I could get a nickel for every stump speech and every candidate I stood in front of and listened as they spoke to Philadelphia trying to get elected. Just a nickel, and I'd be a very, very wealthy man. When they start talking about jobs, when they start talking about the largest infant wear company manufacturer in the world, moving from Center City, Philadelphia to New Jersey, they yawn and turn their back on the speaker. I promise you, there are very, very, very few people in Philadelphia that care one iota.
That's right.
For the economy. They don't care.
I agree with that.
They just want to know, what do I get? What are you going to do for me? When are you going to pick up my trash? It's the most unique city, and there's a reason why an environment like that falls into the hands of the Democrats for 40,000, but I know it's more than 24,000 consecutive days.
Now, Larkin, I'm going to ask you a question. If an independent or a Republican came forward with the message that really needs to be said, a message like, we are going to ask industries to come into Philadelphia, making more industrial centers possible at very, very reasonable taxes and make sure the services are okay. Do you think those people would get the votes of the everyday Philadelphian or Wilmingtonian or Camdenite or Trentonite? Do you think they would get the vote if they were able to motivate the people with common sense?
Nope. No, there is no sense. There is no level of common sense. I'm telling you, listen to me very carefully. There is nobody in the Delaware Valley that gives one hoot about the condition of the economy. When we have more black and brown Americans working than has been the condition in the last 60 years, I would put that on the front page in caps on the Enquirer. And I'll guarantee you it barely made the business section.
That's right.
They don't care. They don't care. It all just magically appears. And when you can't pay your taxes, well, guess what? Even real estate taxes, just don't pay them. Because is the city going to come after them? Nah, not in a million years. Take a look at the city. Take a look at what people in the city of Philadelphia owe the city in back taxes that the city never collects. It never comes after its the tax stuff laws. Never. It doesn't lift a finger. It hasn't collected a penny. Revenue collections? Nah. Heck no.
But see, Larkin,
it's really very, very sad. The same condition exists in New York, Chicago, L.A., Houston. I mean, where do you want me to name? I can name all your Democratic hotspots. They don't give one hoot about economic conditions
now,
whatsoever.
Now, Larkin, is that because, do you feel that's because the people just were conditioned that way? Everything moved smoothly regardless of what they did or voted or worked or not worked. That's where the problem is. As I said early today in the broadcast, we have to urge people in America, once again, we have to make it popular to work, earn, not just be asking, put the hand out. Oh, no. That's no longer something we can allow. Nobody in the world can live with that kind of idea anymore. It doesn't make sense. When people tell me, especially talking with tourists, they tell me how good things are in China now, even though it's under communism and all. Visitors come and they say, things are wonderful in China now. We've never imagined things could be this good. How is that possible? Because they work, they earn, they don't look for someone else to pay the bill. They were never given the red carpet treatment. And now that things have improved, they're very happy to see the improvements, but it was not given to them. They worked and they earned to get it. That's the bottom line.
Well, allow me to address the work ethic in the major metropolitan areas of this country. It's pathetic. it's embarrassing. It is. And if you really search your soul and drive up and down the streets of any one of those major cities and see what's going on, it'd make you sick. It'll make you sick. And it's going to be, ultimately, if they get rid of the Electoral College, and let's just stop and think about this. If they get rid of the Electoral College, think about this. The county of Los Angeles has more voters and is more capable of electing a president than 42 states in the union. There are more voters in Los Angeles than in 42 states. New York, I don't even want to say that. I don't want to go there. But I imagine the number's in the 40s also. So if they get rid of the Electoral College, which they're itching to do,
well,
then nobody will have any say on who's the next president and who it should be. It'll be New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, and L.A. and Houston. Those five cities will elect the next president.
Well, you're right, Larkin, 1,000 times. But there's only one good thing. The Constitution is not easy to change, and the Constitution is always first. Laws are made, but the Constitution is like the Bible.
Michael, I have to interject on that point, please. It's first to you. It's first to Mark, to Larkin, to myself, to Curtis, to Henry. It isn't first to tens of millions of voters across the country.
But they're going to have to work very hard to change it. And in the process, we are going to see such a clash in this country, you will not believe it. Because when people really take a look at how the Constitution has guided us and has worked, those people 243 years ago really did a great job. They were visionaries beyond visionaries.
Well, I've said before, Michael, on the show, the Constitution is the most, it's hilarious to hear me describe it this way, I guess, a bit ironic. It is the most progressive political document in man's history. Mm-hmm. It is the most ahead of its time political contract of freedom and liberty ever created in man's history. The framers spent 4,000 days.
Right.
Putting it together. It wasn't like Jefferson and Adams went out one night, got drunk on absinthe, came back home, and they said, "Hey, Tommy, yeah, Jack, I got this great idea. Due process. Wow, that's amazing. What about you, Tom? States' rights. Whoa, great, amazing. And the framers, Michael, publicized their 4,000 days of creating this in what was called the Federalist Papers.
That's right, and they went.
The Constitution means a lot to you, Michael. It means, and it's why I'm so happy to hear, years later, go back and listen to me on this show, Michael, over 3 years ago, and I said on this show that if we lose 16, the Democrats never lose the presidency, Supreme Court, or federal courts ever again. And you know how many people back then said, "Oh my God, Rich, you exaggerate. Oh, my God." You know what I hear today? And I'm not looking for validation, Michael. I'm just looking for reality. I don't care about being right or getting credit. I just want to live amongst adults who think like adults. You know how many people now say it, Michael? Mm-hmm. "Wow, Rich, you were right." And I said, who cares if I was right? Are we ready for the next round of battle? Are we ready for that? And Larkin, that's what I'm saying, Larkin. How many people in our electorate, God bless them, but with all respects, Michael, to many listening, do you really know what's going on? I mean, do you really know? You're talking, Michael, about jobs, and Larkin's about jobs. What are the majority of voters in this, what do the majority want? What do the majority in where I live?
You know, Rich, I have to tell you this.
That's what it's, see, Michael, that's what I'm saying. Well, that's about the body.
I have to tell you this, and Mark and Larkin and everybody listening, sometimes speaking with the people here in historic Philadelphia, many people don't understand the difference between the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, and the U.S. Constitution of September 17th, 79. They don't understand the difference. If you ask many of the visitors, they'll say, well, the Constitution was formed on July 4th. I say, no, that's the Declaration of Independence. That Constitution went state by state for ratification. That's why it took 4,000 days to get that ratification, which took place on September 17th, 1779. That is the difference. There is not going to be any change in the Constitution or the Electoral College in our lifetimes, because they are going to have to go state by state. It's not going to be one of these things where we vote online or something like that. No, it's going to have to be debated in legislatures all over the USA. The national press may want to scare the hell out of the people, but the Constitution comes first. All laws, whether they are federal laws or state laws, come after the Constitution. I'd like to see an amendment to the Constitution myself, an unofficial amendment where we focus on America first. No less than 50% of everything sold in America must be made in America. I don't see any reason to have an argument about that. Every person who hears that message knows that jobs are going to stay in America, jobs are going to expand in America, and we're going to also be a great part of the global economy. I don't understand any arguments that people would have putting that as a constitutional amendment. In fact, Rich, I would like, if you have the opportunity, think how we can make a constitutional amendment like that. Let's discuss it at some point in the future. As you can hear, Henry has turned on the music. That means we really did a job today working out on many good issues. And by the way, we did speak about many common sense issues. And I encourage you today, if you would take a look at the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, you'll see our distinguished panel members up there. You'll find a link to Mark's Made in America store. You'll find the link to November American Made Month. You'll find the link there to Mike Sessions. And if you want to hear Rich's program, just click on his picture and you'll go right there. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you and offer my best wishes to you and yours. Have a wonderful, wonderful Veterans Day, which is taking place this Monday. Have a wonderful Veterans Day. Honor our veterans. They did so much for this country. They continue to do good things for the country. God bless you. Until we get together this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, my best wishes to you and yours. Have a great one.
Have a great day, guys, and happy Veterans Day coming up.